Well, if you
Okay.
toggle things and you work on computers, we all know that's not nothing.
Right? It's true.
Toggling is science and often fixes shit
Yeah.
that you should doesn't
Would you
yeah
say that
doesn't
you turned it off and on again, perhaps?
Maybe. Can I turn off?
All right, let's fumble into this for real. Hey, welcome back to a new podcast with the same old hosts. We are in the hallway track, and man, it feels like a spacious and depressing hallway today. Welcome to 2020 Extended Edition,
Right.
everybody. Oh, fuck. Listen, if you're listening to this, you must like us enough to hear us gripe, and thank you for that. So we're just going to start by doing that. Are you okay, guys?
As okay as one can be in this 2021, but really still just 2020 thing. Yeah, we got off to
December
a rock
38th.
got off to a rocky start.
Yeah, man. It's looking good for a minute. Yeah. JJ, what's happening in your home?
The short of it is I've been trying to I was watching CBS News Live, tbz.com/live. If you didn't know, they actually stream like a CNN type live stream all the time, and they were doing the debate, or they do doing the debates before everything that happened, and they didn't edit it because it was truly live, like they were just streaming it out. So the mics were hot when the things were happening, and I heard like when they got rid of when they ushered Pence out the thing with the cop running in and saying it, and it was scary. And I've been trying to think of the time that like when I've felt this kind of visceral, like what's going on, and I had to think about it, and I had the same visceral shock that I had when 9/11 happened. And I was looking and I was watching CNN in Lubbock, Texas at Texas Tech. The only times I ever actually went to the cafeteria at Texas Tech was on when the breakfast in the morning. And I remember looking up and being like, this isn't supposed to happen. Like,
Yeah, that vibe. This isn't
yeah.
supposed to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least 9/11 were like external foreign terrorists
Yeah.
versus homegrown ones that were directed by the president.
Yeah, that's harmful to my mental being. I think the thing I just can't grapple with was just I'm in Minneapolis. I know what it looks like for them to guard a shitty street. Like, I've seen more police force in a Target parking lot than I did at the Capitol building yesterday. And it's not like any of this was done in secret. I mean, there's literally like mymilitia.com, like where the most of the conversation was happening about organizing militias to attack. So
And
I just,
even beyond that, they've literally been telling us this is their plan for 4 years or longer.
yeah, I think on a longer timeline, I can discredit it, right? Because like we're all gonna say we're gonna, conquer the galaxy in 2027, but like this week, it was clear through social media and public sites that something was gonna happen, and to have no strength, like no sort of support for like militarily is just questionable. It's worse than questionable, but like questionable is the sanest place I can be at this point in time.
I don't know the right way to say this, so I'm just going to be saying it bluntly, I guess. I'm thankful it wasn't worse, right? Like it could have gotten a lot worse a lot faster. If anyone isn't in the US, listening to this podcast, the joke about, you know, Americans carrying guns, that is something that could have happened very easily in this situation. And don't get me wrong, there was tragedy with one lady being shot and then three other people having medical issues as of right now.
Tragedy, but, comeuppance. It's really hard for me to see it as a tragedy.
Yeah.
And it sucks. And I hate that I find it so hard to see it as a tragedy, but.
Any human life, though.
I'm painfully empathetic and I'm feeling more towards Paul on this one. I watched her 2 minute video rant from the afternoon on her car ride over there. And it's just, you know, psychotic. And I mean that in like a way where like I wish she received help. Like I think it's actual psychosis level disinformation as reality. And I don't think somebody deserves to die because they're having a psychotic episode.
Right.
I don't think somebody deserves to, you know, risk the safety of a majority of our elected officials and the functioning of our entire 330 million people republic. Yeah. But I appreciate you caring. I guess I'm too scared to care. Is not a graceful thing, but I'm not lying when I say that.
Yeah, it's interesting how like the shocking imagery of like the Black Lives Matter protests and stuff were of, you know, the police brutality. Mm-hmm. In this one, the shocking imagery was almost the lack thereof.
Yeah.
And not even just lack of brutality, but the lack of policing and seeing them, you know, the videos and photos of the, like the
just opening
local
the fence.
Police and the protesters. I mean, I don't really want to call them protesters because I don't see them as that, but I'll just use that word. Letting them in, shaking their hands, having photos with them, helping them down the stairs on the way out.
That's the fucking guy.
And like,
when I, that was
me too. I really was sitting next to my person and she's like, why did that get you? I'm like, it's just such, it's like the perfect night and day, like chivalry with somebody trying to take down the government versus, you know, brutality when somebody is trying to say like, maybe they shouldn't die because of their skin color. Like,
right.
The discrepancy is gross. Oy fucking vey. But hey, we also wanted to talk about some food. I know it's not a graceful transition.
I don't think we should. We took a moment and processed this, and I think we should just be like, let's just say thank you for hearing us, and then I think we should just say goodbye, because we're all in this weird spot right now. And is even if we talk about food or anything else, it seems so. No. Like I've been digging myself into my home lab because I'm letting my lizard brain process what's happened, and I've just sit there and I haven't actually really done any real work because I don't know how what happened yesterday. And I know I need to talk to my kids about this. I know I need to explain what has happened to them, and I don't know how to do it. And everything else seems so, it's eclipsed everything, you know? It really, really has.
Yeah. And I completely respect that, JJ. And honestly, I think the most heartbreaking thing I'm seeing are like messages from friends who are like, how do my kids are asking questions? I don't know what the fuck to say.
Right.
I don't have that situation, but I will tell you, like, I can't seem to care about how computers put input and output together at the moment. But like, I'm glad you're finding some outlet. We all need an outlet. And that's why, like, honestly, food has been my outlet right now. Like, you know, I have three friends who are all doctors, and they all are, you know, they all receive their vaccine for COVID. And that means I can hang around them soon. And I'm planning to make like a big ramen meal for them. And I'm still kind of moving forward with that because, like, I don't know what else to do.
Yeah.
There's a lot of ways I could react to this. And I hope I'm not reacting not enough, because that's kind of one of my nightmares. But I don't think it's at that point. So I'm going to make some ramen. As stupid as that sounds. Right? Like, I don't know, man. Gotta eat.
Yeah. You do gotta eat.
So if you'll allow it, I'd at least like to hear if you cooked anything fun lately, just because we can't only be that.
Okay.
Yeah. So why don't we talk a little bit about, like, just our outlets, what we've been doing to try and stay sane and sort of phrase it around there. And so you've been cooking. So what have you been cooking? Tell us about a recent success, and tell us about a recent failure.
There you go.
Oh, I like that. Recent success. So I've been a big fan of the Way of Ramen YouTube channel, and I watch it whenever I'm bored. It's like now my go-to channel. So we didn't have any dinner plans a few nights ago, and I was able to follow his 15-minute ramen recipe and actually make it in about 20 minutes, beginning to end.
Nice.
There's like a really great way to kind of cheat like all the prep you need to do to make usually a good tare and a good broth. And you can just basically load up on this like fancy, like MSG laced chicken stock, like alternative. And it's fucking delicious. Like, you can, as he puts it in the channel, like, you can get 80% of the way with like almost 5% of the effort.
Yeah.
So I made like a really good, I used the like leftovers of the duck I made as a topping with like a soy glaze. And like, we had a bunch of bok choy that I sauteed up on top, and got these like wide Szechuan noodles that were really, really buttery and delicious. So that was pretty nice. And the fail was the duck. Oh man, I realized learning a new protein is just, I just ask a bunch of questions on the internet and get a bunch of good answers if I got a complete answer to any of them. But I just try to find the, you know, the intersection of all of them, and I just do weird shit. So I ended up following a recipe from someone. I steamed it first, which is supposed to, you know, prep, like loosen up some of the fat in it, or like melt away some of the fat so it doesn't get too fatty, and then smoke it after. But like, I think I just overcooked it, and it didn't get enough smoke flavor. And it didn't end up being crispy at all. I think it would weigh too much water. So I don't know, Paul, I've brought you through more of the details. What's your analysis?
Yeah. I mean, I don't get why he's pre-steaming. It doesn't really make a lot of sense. Like, if you're smoking, you're already in theory doing a cooking it pretty slowly. Right.
Sure.
And so there should be plenty of time for, you know, fat to render and all that sort of stuff. Now, when you smoke, you generally sacrifice crispy skin for smoke, right? Because you're at lower temperatures. You can smoke at a higher temp. Like, you could crank up and try and hit like 350 and do like a hot and fast smoke. Mm-hmm. You can also smoke and then like finish it really hot later. But things like ducks, chickens, because they're like shape is so non-uniform with, you know, the legs and the wings and the breasts and the back, it's hard to get like a good, even like hard, fast cook on the skin once it's done. Yeah. So you're generally better off going for that hot and fast and just get it cooked, get the skin crispy. one thing you can do that sort of takes from like Chinese, like Peking duck or Beijing duck, I guess we're supposed to call it. They actually will dip the duck in like a basically boiling water and pull it out, let it like air cool a little bit, dip it again. And that sort of tightens up the skin around the meat, and that can help you with a crispy skin as well.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. Well, and they actually use a like a light soy / sugar mix in that boiling liquid as well. So you also get some extra stuff on the skin that's going to help it sort of like brown up and cook.
Yum. I'm into that. Cool. Well, it was the first go. Overall, not like a mind-blowing meal, but I also cooked a freaking duck, which is a complex beast compared to a chicken. That is for sure.
It is, absolutely. Yeah. So the big thing with duck is like the breast you need to cook to maximum medium rare, or you need to cook it like Peking duck style, where you cook it like well over
for ages.
Whereas the legs need even more than say chicken legs and thighs, so you have that big imbalance of target temperatures with, you know, 130 135 for the breasts and then like 165 170 for the legs and thighs. And so cooking a whole duck and getting like all of the meat to the right temperatures is very, very challenging.
But Paul, for the save, I texted him. I'm like, I think I fucked this up. And he guided me through. I cut the breast meat off the duck, pulled it off the grill, pulled those off, put them face down in a cast iron to try to sear the skin, because they're just about a temperature. And then I threw the rest of the duck on the grill for another hour for it to get up to 165. And yeah, it was good. Like, you know, the meat was useful. I ended up pulling all that, chopping up, and like using it like a just a ramen topping.
Now, did you keep the bones to make stock with?
It's all in the freezer.
Nice.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That'll be super delicious.
And one duck is enough to make stock with that, or like?
I mean, you can make a stock with one chicken wing. You just use the right amount of water.
Touché, salesman. Okay, I'll have to find the balance there.
Generally speaking, if you put it in a pot and you like cover it with like an extra inch or so of water, that's about the ratio you want.
Cool.
Water to bones. And then you'll also throw in like some onion, maybe some carrot, some celery, whatever.
Right. Yum. Yeah. Well, what's keeping you occupied, Paul?
I've been doing a lot of fishing, kayaking and fishing. And so nice. I got a second new kayak over Christmas because the first one was a lemon and they finally agreed to refund it.
Good. So what happened there?
It's a really long story and not really worth getting into. But the result was I got a kayak that had a lot of problems. And
it was literally made out of lemon.
Literally made out of lemons. After months of arguing with them, I finally like told them that I was CCing it to the Attorney General, which is in Texas, at least, the way you do like small claimsy kind of stuff for people not honoring warranties and stuff. And suddenly they were super interested in helping me.
Wow.
Yeah. So got that sorted out. And so I've been doing a lot of kayaking, a lot of fishing. I've been fishing for crappie, which is not really a species I've targeted before. And so sort of learning how to fish for a new species has been kind of fun.
Cool. And JJ, you are deep in your home lab?
Yeah. Just kind of focusing on that.
What are you building out?
I'm migrating off of Jenkins into something called Drone, drone.io.
Yeah. I'm a huge fan of Drone.
Yeah, CZ has convinced me that I need to stop thinking about VMs and start thinking about containers more, because I keep finding myself thinking about VMs. And this is something I've just needed to do. So I finally sat down and started doing it. And I'm really impressed.
Now, as part of that, are you running a Kubernetes cluster as your home lab?
No. I'm still running basically just a Docker instance inside of it. But all my maintenance scripts and all that are now containers instead of random bash scripts running or whatever. And I use Drone on a cron to kick off those jobs. And then now I get an email notification if anything fails or anything like that. And everything's tied into a Gitea instance. So I have like my own Gitea instance that shows all the changes I've made and be able to grow it or shrink it how I needed to. And I've also posted two generic drone YAMLs on my GitHub that I couldn't seem to find, that no one's done. So I put them on my GitHub, so hopefully someone can use them in the future.
To install Drone or to like set up jobs?
To do some Ansible playbook linting automatically. So if you create an Ansible playbook to do something and you want to have CI on it to do some linting, I have a demo of that. And then I also have a demo of spinning up a kind cluster and then injecting Tecton inside of it. So you can have like kind using to be able to like do Kubernetes things.
Mm-hmm. So, nice.
Yeah. That's been my last 2 days and probably tomorrow too at this rate. I do want to say about one interesting thing I did cook over the break, which was I have a standard bread recipe. It's very, very, it's an overnight rise that I just like making bread overnight. I don't, for whatever reason, it's kind of stuck with me and I know the ratios now. So I can just kind of be like, give me 24 hours. I can come with 2 loaves of bread. That's what it boils down to now. So I decided that I wanted to rip out all the water and go completely with milk instead to see what would change how the bread would come out. And I was expecting it to be really, really fluffy. Because last time I did this with the other recipes I used to use, before I kind of standardized on what I'm doing now, I remember I got something, this is a very Austin thing or a very Texas thing. So I'm sorry, Broberg, but there's this bread inside of a place called HEB that they have this French loaf that is a very fluffy kind of very specific, loaf that I got really close when I did it all with basically milk. And I tried to do it this time with that and it didn't really change much, which was really shocking.
So what kind of milk was it?
Whole milk.
It was whole milk?
It was whole milk. And it was just like, instead of doing 2 1/3 cups water, I did 2 1/3 cups milk. The gluten strands were there. Everything looked right. The proofing, the skin was a little bit tighter than I was used to.
Mm-hmm.
But that was really it. Like there was a real difference.
You think about milk, right? It's water, it's protein, it's fat, and it's sugar, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the sugar is in the form of lactose, but it's still sugar. It's just a different type of sugar. The protein is protein and the fat is fat. So you're kind of making an enriched dough, but I don't think there's enough of the like fat to really make that much difference. So if you had have like dumped some butter in there or some oil or an egg, that would have helped enrich it, you know, egg for protein, butter for fat. But just milk on its own, I don't think would make a huge difference.
Okay. It was an interesting experiment. I mean, now I have the data point, right? And as an engineer cooking, you need to learn different things happening. And this one was, didn't, my hypothesis, the scientific method proved me that I did not expect, wait, you know what I mean? The, yes. So anyway, I will say success. I do have a cooking success. I have now pretty much locked down my, I need to make a steak in a good way with little to no thinking. Like, I've got a process down where I'm like, okay, I just need some protein to eat. I want to cook a steak. I get my hands on a steak. I now have a process down that I don't even have to think about it. I just make it happen. And it comes out perfect every single time. So I'm very happy about that.
That's delicious.
Well, are you going to tell us what this process is, or are you just going to tell us you have one?
No, it sounded very proprietary.
if I remember correctly, y'all made fun of me for this a while ago, but I've mastered it.
You're not doing a three-day sous vide, are you?
No, I'm not. No, I'm not doing that. I'm not
down
doing
to that. Two.
So being that I've experimented with the sous vide to kind of understand what's going on, and hearing CZ yell at me enough, I finally internalized it. So what I do now is, if I have prep time, or let's just say I go to the grocery store and I buy a steak for that evening, I usually go pretty late in the afternoon. So I immediately bring it home, take it out of the butcher paper. I put seasoning on top of it and let it sit for about an hour-ish. Then in that time, I prep the sous vide to cook it to 129 for about an hour, assuming that it's fresh and about an inch long. Anyway, it was worth the smiles.
We're not here to judge you, okay?
And then I take it out, or then while it's cooking, I turn my gas grill on to the highest temperature with all three burners just going until it's done. So it's like as hot as it can possibly get. And then I sear it for a minute on both sides, and then I let it rest for 5 minutes, and it's fucking phenomenal every single time.
Perfect.
Yeah. So.
Hell yeah.
Sounds good to me.
Mm-hmm. It's good energy. Yep.
So one thing I've been doing a fair bit that I thought I'd mention is kind of my cheats garlic bread.
What's that?
And so what I do is I'll get like a French loaf or whatever, probably the French loaf you're talking about, JJ, from HEB. Oh, okay. And I will slice it in half lengthways. And then I will get mayonnaise. And then I will like put a big squirt of mayonnaise in a bowl. And then I'll put a big dollop of olive oil in. And I'll whisk the hell out of it. And basically, I'm just making a thinner mayonnaise, right? Because I don't know if you know the old mayonnaise recipe of first start with mayonnaise. Yeah. But basically, it's easier to emulsify something if you're starting from something that's already emulsified. And so basically, I'm just making a thinner emulsification than regular mayo. And I do that because it's easier than like melting down bread to like a soft, melting down butter to a soft consistency. So I just kind of use that cheat's way. I crush a couple of cloves of garlic in, and I just use a garlic crush, press, because I want those super fine grains. I can chop it like that, but like whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to get all mad and anal about chopping garlic for garlic bread. And then I'll do a little bit of salt, and then I'll usually add a little bit of like Parmigiano Reggiano or another like cheese in that style. Give it a good mix, slather it real thick on top of the bread and stick it under the broiler on high. And it comes out delicious every time. It's perfect for serving with soups, and it is soup weather right now.
Wait. You don't just cut bread in half and then put garlic butter that you bought in the store and call that garlic bread?
I mean, it's effectively the same thing. I've just made the garlic butter myself.
I didn't realize mayo was in it. Genuinely didn't. So
Sounds delicious.
Well, so the reason I use mayo is because mayo is mostly oil, right?
Is it?
With a, yeah. Have you never made mayonnaise?
Well, I've never made it, but I've read way too much about it recently. Yeah.
So basically, mayonnaise, you start with like an egg yolk. You add a little bit of mustard. You don't have to add mustard, but mustard actually aids emulsification. And then you add a little bit of usually like vinegar, and you give that a quick whisk, and you add a little bit of oil, you whisk, and then you add a little bit of oil and you whisk, and you're basically emulsifying the water-based liquids in the egg and vinegar with the oil, right? And basically you keep adding oil until you get to the right consistency. And as long as you're whisking at the right amount and adding the oil slowly enough, you get mayonnaise. And then if you want to make mayonnaise the cheaty way, you start with mayonnaise and then you just add extra, like extra water and extra oil. Mm. And because it's already got that started emulsification, it's really easy to like keep the emulsification going.
I didn't really start eating mayonnaise till maybe 2 years ago. And that was like, I still don't really eat it. So it was never really on. I didn't grow up with it. So it's never really been a condiment that I think about.
Mm-hmm. When you heat mayonnaise, it'll split into like the emulsification will split, right? Into like oil and basically like protein and stuff from the egg. Oh. And so it makes for a really good cheats way to like slather something and cook it. So like you kind of use it for like a grilled cheese instead of butter on the outside. It's actually really good for if you're grilling skinless chicken breasts. You just pound the chicken breast out a little bit to kind of even up the shape, and then you'll like season it and slather it in some mayonnaise, and then you stick it straight on your grill or whatever. And basically it helps it not stick because the mayo breaks down into oil, but then also the proteins and other stuff in there also help it like brown up quickly.
Wow.
Totally. So if you ever feel the need to eat boneless chicken skinless chicken breasts, which is not something I have often, but that is one way to grill it and make it pretty tasty.
That's literally what I'm having tonight.
Well, there you go.
Sorry for your loss.
Hey, did you know
in Japan, thigh meat, breast meat is the cheapest part of the chicken?
What? Makes sense.
Because it's the least interesting part of the chicken.
Least flavorful.
Hmm.
And so in places where like thighs and stuff are more desirable and more used, the breast sort of becomes the thing that is cheaper.
Yeah, makes sense. I like breasts. Wait, what?
Cool.
Oh, good. Anyway. Cool. Well, that's all I got. Yeah, I guess I ruined that one.
I think you broke the podcast. Our very first one, and you broke it.
I did.
Good job.
Good.
Oh, got to do a little shout out / apologizing. We decided to go with the hallway track as the name because it's like a thing that we think of and it's the place we would rather be with people. After deciding to do that, a brief Googling of that hallway track podcast shows a defunct one from a couple years ago, started by a gentleman over at GitHub who, you know, thanks for we didn't mean to take your idea, but if you ever want to jump on this one, let's do it. If you ever find it. We're not the most SEO savvy at the moment.
You would think that of all people, we would know to Google a name before deciding to use it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
Schwartz.
It's true.
But you know, give it a week and we'll probably be number one because we're publishing. But yeah, shout out to that existing show. Sorry, it's a small world. And also there is a thing by Ricky Ensley, like a YouTube series in 2013 called The Hallway Track that was like interviewing tech people like Matt Smith and Matt Simmons, the sysadmin guy.
Yeah, maybe we should have called ourselves Kids in the Hallway Track.
Hey. Yeah, there's still time. But anyway, hey, we're standing on the shoulders of giants, and mm-hmm. they're asking us to get off their shoulders. So we're just going to walk right along here. Well, good luck with tomorrow, the day after.
And then we'll see. We'll continue on with our lives, I guess.
It's all uphill from here, right?
Something like that.
I think that's the phrase, yeah. I'm also going to say that all I want for my birthday at the end of January is a democracy. So just going to put that energy out there.
Is this where I say we don't actually live in a democracy? We live in a republic, a democratic republic? Or am I just being a dick now?
Democratic republic or a representative democracy?
I think it's a democratic republic. But we don't actually live in a democracy.
Yes, we do.
No, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, JJ, once again, like you've ruined the podcast like three times.
Now. No. Good job. Make your point.
Yeah, it's all good. We'll talk about it next week. How about that? We'll talk about it next week.
Next week, stay tuned next week as JJ explains to us why we don't actually live in a democracy.
This just makes me think of a buddy of mine watched Monty Python Quest for the Holy Grail for the first time in a while. And he was really happy about like the repressed peasant scene with King Arthur. Do any of you remember this?
Oh, it's
and so I used help, to
I'm being repressed.
Yeah. Listen, we live in a dictatorship. So, but it's
just
like
because some wait. Tart in a lake threw you a sword.
Exactly. So funny. When in doubt, channel that energy. We're an autonomous collective. We act as a socialist sort of collective. Executive power for the week.
For the week.
Oh, shut up. Bloody peasant. Gotta watch that now. Oh, yes. All right. Everyone's got homework. Go watch Monty Python. Hug and or talk to your kids. Maybe both. And or cook a good meal. And we'll see you out there.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye, gang.